It's Tuesday, November 27th, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Yes, everyone, we're in the new studio. We're in the new location. Got a great show for you. Yes, I'm back. Strap in. Here it comes.
This is the Geek News Central Podcast, part of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. So grab a cup of coffee, take a seat, and crank up that volume. Because you're listening to Todd on the Geek News Central Podcast.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from the Geek News Central studio, high on the leeward side of Oahu, overlooking Honolulu and Pearl Harbor, Hawaii. How are all you doing? Welcome to the show. Boy, I tell you, have I got a great show lined up for you tonight, and I'm still tweaking my system here a little bit, watching the recording as it goes live for the first time. Yes, how'd you like that new intro? Well, I tell you what, I want to thank two very special listeners of the show, and a lot of you sent some stuff in, but I want to thank Joe and Bree for kind of helping me mold the new intro, and you both had parts of the things that you sent to me I combined to make into a single intro. So what I'm going to do is for Bree and Joe, we're going to kind of split the difference. Each of you are going to get 4 meg Zune MP3 players. I hope that's okay with both of you for me to kind of split the difference with you. But congratulations and thanks for all the support. I want to thank Hammett. I want to thank Lana, Nolan, Sam, and Christian for all sending in their entries as well. But wow, what a week it has been since I have last been with you. And you're going to laugh here because half of the office, well, the new studio, I guess I should say, instead of office. But it really is. It's office/studio. Half of it is complete. There's kind of like this, you almost draw a red line across the room here, and on my side everything's organized and neat, and on the other side is my lovely wife's side, which is still, there must be 20 boxes on her side of the room still that hasn't been unpacked, and we'll talk about that and much more. But things are going well here. I want to tell you, first of all, for those of you who are checking out the show for the very first time, just to kind of clue you in here, I have just packed up and moved from my prior location over on historic Ford Island to our new home, our new location in Upper Makakilo, in overlooking Greater Honolulu and, of course, Pearl Harbor. So we took the week off last week, and so I've got the first show up from this new location. So I hope you bear with me a few minutes while I go through everything. But of course, if you're checking the show out for the first time, make sure that you subscribe to our newsletter and subscribe to the RSS feed so that you get the show downloaded directly into your, either with the iTunes or the Zune Marketplace or whatever it may be that you're consuming the content with each time we put a new show up, which is produced every Tuesday and Friday. Generally, we hit in there just like the mailman. We try to be pretty regular. I do want to apologize. Last week, some of you did download the Tuesday show and may have found out kind of why we had some issues with it. I want to thank the two co-hosts for really taking the time and doing a great job. The Tuesday show, unfortunately, the audio. It was the first time the gentleman had recorded the show on his own. He normally worked with another podcaster who had done the recording, and the audio was clipped completely through the entire podcast. So every second or third word you would hear, it would just clip out, and you couldn't hear it. So I decided to not make that show available on Tuesday, but I know that he put a lot of hard work into that, and I do want to, of course, thank him for that. And, you know, these things kind of happen, and I wanted to give a couple people a shot at putting the show up. Of course, great show on Thursday, of course, as well. Hope you guys enjoyed that in my absence. But let me kind of get you up to speed on where we're at. Well, Monday and Tuesday, the Packers were in the house and packed us out. And then Wednesday, they showed up with a team of about 9 guys and loaded. I'm not kidding you. You know how U-Haul has the biggest trucks U-Haul have? Well, they filled 2 of those. Then they had 2 smaller trucks. And I would say that they're like the next downsize that U-Haul has. And they filled those. And I got to thinking, that's a lot of stuff. They left the house. I scrambled, got the dog loaded up. Matter of fact, he's in the office with me tonight. Kind of a weird. My dog has been really sticking close to me ever since we moved. I think he's thinking we're going to leave him or something. But anyway, I got over here to the house, the new house, and the trucks rolled up. And I asked the guys, okay, how much was the weight? And the guy got off the truck and says, dude, he says, you're not going to believe this. You've got 19,000 pounds of stuff. And my mouth dropped open because really I'm authorized like 13,500. Otherwise I have to pay out of my own pocket. So I'm waiting for that bill to show up. And I'm sure it will be ugly when it does, so I'm just kind of holding my breath there. But anyway, we got everything in. By 4 o'clock Wednesday afternoon, we had well over 500 boxes in the house, and it was just, you know, they unload it, and they drop it, and, they, you know, you tell them where to put it, and they put it, and they leave. Oh, my goodness. So we immediately started unpacking. We worked to about 3 o'clock in the morning when we both fell out. My wife and I both crashed, and we got up maybe 6:37. We only slept a short time and continued unpacking all the way to lunchtime. Then my good friend Mike, bless his soul, he brought us a Thanksgiving dinner. He'd bought one of those prepackaged Thanksgiving dinners. He brought it over, dropped it in the stove, brand new stove, had never been used before. So he christened the stove with a Thanksgiving dinner. And by about 2 o'clock on Thanksgiving Day, we really had not had a good meal since maybe like Sunday of, you know, prior to this whole thing starting. It was like heaven. Having that meal was unbelievable. So it was truly a thankful Thanksgiving for us. Shortly after he left that afternoon, we continued to work through. And then by Friday evening, I would say we had 90% of the boxes unpacked. And we're starting to make a semblance of an organization around here. But lo and behold, we noticed in the eaves of the house, they've got these vent holes here in the houses in Hawaii. They're a little different than maybe what they are in Hawaii. And they're sets of 3 pairs. This house is 10 years old. And we noticed that some birds they call a fin had poked through some of those. And we had some nesting going on in the eaves that was between the time the house inspection was done. And so these things were like, or either that or the housing inspector missed it. I don't know. But all grand total, we had 14 nests in the eaves. I freaked out. Birds in a house, essentially in a crawl space, not good. Mites come with birds. I'm just thinking of all these horror stories of having, you know, my kids being infected. It, you know, not good. So I called a pest control person, and they came out, and they looked at it and gave me a quote, which made my eyeballs pop out a little bit. And I called the prior homeowner, and I said, hey, this is what's going on here. What do you want to do? And they were very, very gracious. And their 23-year-old son came over and dug out 14 birds' nests and got rid of the little birdies that were with them. We're not going to talk about, unfortunately, how they were gotten out of the house, but they were evicted, let's put it that way. And got that all cleaned up. So by Saturday morning, we had to load up and go clean up the old house. So we spent about 7 hours over there getting that ready for turnover. And then yesterday, spent some time just, you know, cleaning up odds and ends. Today, had to turn over the old house, got the keys turned into that. And delivery came with the new washer and dryer my wife had purchased. So it's just been boom, 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 busy, 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 busy here. Meanwhile, I had midterms and homework due last week. So I begged for an extension. So today I've been doing catching up on homework and getting tests taken. And tomorrow I have to finish up. But we're gaining some experience with our new koi pond. That's proving to be very interesting. We have to make a trip over to the exotic fish guy over in another part of the island on the windward side to talk to him about maintenance and how to keep the algae down and everything in our koi pond. But the studio has shaped up fairly nicely. It's very amazing how fast we run out of room. We kind of had an idea way things were going to be, but not as much room as I would have hoped for. But the garage, oh man, I am absolutely in seventh heaven with its layout. I've got myself a little private area with a little bar, but there's lots of open space because of the storage in the overhead and everything else. It's going to make a great place to do some live video shots from time to time. So that's really kind of what's happening here. The kids are absolutely in love with the big yard. The dog is, of course, because he can go out. And he's no longer confined to a, you know, essentially a 20 by 20 area. He's got a huge yard to run in. Met all the neighbors. Everyone seems great. Got the scuttlebutt, all the rumor control about what's happening in the neighborhood, which is pretty interesting. And waiting for my broadband. Clearwire works good up here. Of course, my eVideo does as well. So I'm on Clearwire tonight and producing the show. So we'll see how this pushes up. But I want to, of course, thank all of you for being very patient here and being very loyal supporters of the show. I definitely appreciate it. Got a great show lined up for you tonight. And those of you that are just coming in and checking us out for the first time, maybe you found us through the Zune Marketplace, and I know a lot of you have because I'm seeing the subscription numbers over there. Thanks for being a little patient here with this transition, and we'll be back into regular production mode here now with the show now that we're in the new dibs. And lots of exciting things. And when I get everything arranged in the office quite the way I want it, I'll put up some pictures for you, give you guys an eagle's view. And you guys can take a look around here. I'll take some pictures of the place, put those up online as well, and I can share with you. So all is well here in Upper Makakilo, overlooking Honolulu and Pearl Harbor. So, again, congratulations to both Bree and, of course, bring up my email here, and Joe as well. So Bree and Joe will be sending you emails. Bree, of course, is a very long-time supporter of the show, so congratulations to Bree, and I think Joe has been a listener for quite a while as well. So lots of other great suggestions as well. I want to thank, of course, Nolan sent something that was kind of cool, but didn't know if it would really create the kind of vibe I wanted to, but thanks for your submission, Nolan. Definitely appreciate it. And Lana, thanks for your recording as well. Okay, what have I got for you today? Hey, let's take care of a little business. You know, this, me being able to do this the way I'm doing right now would not be possible without our sponsors. And, of course, please take the time and check out the sponsors and support the sponsors of the show as much as possible. If you are into saving money, you'll definitely want to check out GoToMeeting. It's a revolutionary way to hold meetings online. You know, you no longer have to travel to have a meeting. You know, you just pick up the phone, you call someone, you drop them an email, say, hey, let's hold a meeting right now, and you can do it over the phone and via the web conferencing solution, GoToMeeting. You know, the ability to host an online meeting is an absolute must for today's business. And with GoToMeeting.com, it's just like you're all in the same room, unlimited meetings for one flat rate means you can meet as often as you want for as long as you need. Try it yourself for free for 30 days. Just visit GoToMeeting.com/tech podcast. That's GoToMeeting.com/tech podcast. Try GoToMeeting free today. Now, we're still in the planning stages of doing our Christmas show over at Tech Podcast. Now, let me bring up the calendar here to December. I think we're planning on December 8th as our annual Christmas show. And this one you'll definitely not want to miss. This will be the cool tech stuff that you'll want to buy your techie significant other, male or female, friend, wife, whatever it may be. And this will be a show where you'll definitely want to check out the cool stuff we have found for you. Now, I'm sure many of you are out shopping on Friday. Actually, we got out late on Friday. We decided about 4 o'clock to blast out of here, and we had to go pick up some. It was just out to pick up a couple of things, a hose and a rake, and just some of the basic stuff that we hadn't need to replace. And you know, all the sales are going on, of course. And I went into a garden center, and they had barbecue grills on sale for 33% off. And I said, "Whoa, entire stock, 33% off!" And we had just essentially sent our previous barbecue grill to barbecue heaven because it had seen better days. It had lasted about 10 years, and it was time for a new unit. And so I'm walking around, and I was, you know, trying to be a little conservative. And my wife says, "Hey," she goes, "you know how I used to see Japanese wives, every from time to time, they'll cook fish in a strange way. And when they do, it really stinks. And it drives me absolutely insane." And she only does it once in a while because it's really, really, it's just smelly. And generally, when she cooks fish, it's, you know, it's just like normal. But it's a special way they cook it. It's just terrible. She goes, "This particular barbecue grill has an external burner on it. That way I can cook this particular dish outside." I'm like, "How much is the price differential?" Because no one ever used those burners. You know, I don't know how many of you have one of those barbecue grills with a side burner on it. But she goes, I said, "You know, people normally don't use that. At least I never did on a grill I had years ago." But her indication that she would actually use it kind of turned me on to saying, "Okay, let's go ahead and get this one." So we hauled that home. So I've got that to put together. At some point here, I guess when I'm ready to cook some steaks here in a week or so, pork chops or whatever, it'll be time to have that up. But we're not eating any steaks or any pork chops without support from our sponsors. So if you want to make an impact online, GoDaddy.com has what you need. .com names as low as $1.99 when you transfer one in, plus world-class hosting, fast and easy website builders, and much, much more. Find out the web hosting accounts, dedicated servers, virtual dedicated servers. They've got gift cards going on right now, which the promo codes don't work on. But, you know, gift cards are a great way to give your techie friend a great gift this holiday. But when you get to that checkout counter, definitely use the promo code TODD. That'll save you an additional 10% on your order. Or use Geek5 to save 15% on orders of $20 or more. And thanks for GoDaddy for being a continued sponsor here at the Geek News Central podcast. All right, lots of great news for you tonight. We're going to start you right off with an article that comes from Ace Adulter. He pointed me at this, and this is a talking about Firefox. And they've been tracking the adoption rate of Firefox. And what they're finding is that here's how they've worked it. They've been able to look at the downloads, numbers that installed it, the numbers that continue to use it after install. And so what they found out was 57% kept Firefox through the install process. In other words, they've installed it and they have it on their machines. Then 49% retained as daily users up to 30 days later. So this is pretty good numbers there. They're thinking that, you know, with this type of adoption rate, I think that the Firefox team would be very happy. You know, any software development company would be happy to have 49% of the people that have installed the actual software continue to be daily users 30 days later. That's a very good metric coming out of the Mozilla team. But I have this linked up in the show notes, of course, over at geeknewscentral.com. Hey, while I was offline this past week, it appears that Mark Cuban wrote a series of peer-to-peer articles that has really raised the ire of a lot of people. And you go through and look at the user comments on this, and you can tell there's two types of camps. He's essentially responded to the Comcast situation where Comcast was throttling BitTorrent traffic. His position essentially that he's happy that Comcast is doing this, and he's basically telling everyone that's using peer-to-peer that you should be charged for the amount of data that you're uploading. Now, I realize many people use peer-to-peer for illegal means, but a lot of people also use peer-to-peer for completely legitimate means, and I use peer-to-peer all the time to move legitimate traffic around. But he thinks that ISP should treat upstream bandwidth the way cell phone companies treat minutes. He's thinking that users should be given an option on how many upstream bits they want to be able to use and during what time of day, and charge more during prime usage times and less during off hours. In other words, letting those people foot the bill. So he doesn't want to block peer-to-peer, but he wants them to, people that use it to pay, and those that are heavy users to pay a lot more. So, you know, the old adage goes that, you've paid for your internet service connection. You've paid for the right to use that connection in the way you see fit. And he thinks that model is to should go by the wayside. And, you know, unlimited shouldn't be unlimited anymore. And that internet service providers should start charging for the number of bits you move. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't necessarily like his suggestions here. But I think he's going down the road that at some point something's got to give, you know, he's a guy that has got networks that are producing HD content. He wants that HD content to be able to push the home. And the only way that HD content is going to be able to be pushed to our homes is if the cable providers increase the amount of bandwidth they have coming in through those pipes. And that's the only way they can do that is by either restricting the amount of traffic that's currently on their networks or to increase their pipe. And to increase their pipe costs a lot of money. So he says if they're going to allow peer-to-peer, that's going to help them fund the infrastructure they're going to need to move more bandwidth, or you reduce the amount of bogus traffic, or in other words, illegal traffic, in which he's referring to. I shouldn't have said bogus, but he wants to be able to, you know, get his content down. This is what this is. This is an ulterior motive by him. So I don't agree with what he has to say here. Interesting couple of articles. I'll have the part three linked up in the show notes. All you got to do is once you get over to his website is click on the header banner of his website to go down and read the other two articles that he has posted. Doug Kay and also Robert Scoble have put out their reports on the Kindle. Now, I think we missed it here. I may have been moving when the Kindle was announced, but several people have gotten their Kindles from Amazon. And if you don't know what the Kindle is, a Kindle is essentially a handheld device that allows you to read books via kind of like a small tablet type computer. It's $3.99 through Amazon. And here's the crux of all of the reviews I've seen. Usability features are terrible. Robert Scoble says the team that designed the control mechanisms for how people hold this device, he says from that point alone, people should be fired because he hates the usability of it. There's no touchscreen. Everything's through a clunky menu system. And he says, once you've used an iPhone and done a touchscreen, it's really hard to go back to anything that isn't. Now, Doug Kay says is the connectivity in it is seamless. It's just a no-brainer. You turn it on, it works. You go to the websites. You can, you know, the Amazon website. You can get books. You can subscribe to newspapers. Now, I think this is where the device may be in itself worth it. I don't. I like to read a newspaper from time to time, but I would rather not get a newspaper delivered. I would rather be able to read it online. I'd like to read the Wall Street Journal, you know, in a format that makes sense. And this may be the way to do that. I don't know. If you're a big newspaper reader, you may want to, consider the Kindle solely for this purpose alone, where you can subscribe to different newspapers and get it downloaded every day. And it's, I don't know what network they're running on, but it is definitely using some sort of a wireless connection to get the content. But Doug Kay agrees that the navigation buttons are awful. He says its pointy corners digs into his palm when he holds it, and he says it's ugly. He says, I'm still accidentally pressing buttons. They line the edges. Every time I pick it up, it feels like the first time I drop it, I'll have to throw it in the trash. And the case, he says, you got to be kidding. So definitely not some positive reviews on the design on this, but he says the display is so-so, and I think I'll link up Doug's article You know where Robert Scoble's site is. You can go over there and check his reply out as well that was produced a couple of written a couple of days ago. For those of you that are in the UK, wow, if you had a Skype in number, I'd love to hear from you. Were you part of the group of UK users that had your Skype in numbers essentially disconnected? It appears that Skype was leasing lines, and those numbers were repossessed by the provider Skype was securing them from. So a huge number of Skype users in the UK have lost their Skype in access after they paid for it. You know, what is going on with Skype? Sounds to me like, people need to be fired over there. And the article over on Andy Abramson's blog basically says, you know, you always tell the customers the risk. So, you know, think about if you build up, you know, if I was to set up a Skype in number in the UK for my business and had planned on that, you know, and done advertising or whatever, and people were using that number and to have it go disconnected, people would think I was out of business. So, you know, his thing is always tell the customers your risk, always communicate transparency at the time of sale, always look out for your customers, especially those that you have paid, who have paid you. This is huge. I'm sure many of those Skype in customers will never, ever pay for that service again or demand their money back and probably look for an alternative service. So bad news on the Skype system. Hey, do want to give you an update on the one laptop per child. I did get an email back from the OLPC people, and they have informed me that shipments are going to be sent as they come in. Now, we did get some more donations. Matter of fact, let me go over to the email list because I was dropping emails into... Okay, where is it here? And let me go over to my OLPC folder and give you guys a quick update. What they did is they announced that they've extended the OLPC sales or the giveaway until, I believe, the end of December. Let me look here real quick again on this. Yeah, it's the one laptop per child extension has been extended through December 31st. So this is good news. I was actually in the mode of picking one of these up today when I found the new announcement because we were just a bit short on being able to get the third laptop or third pair. I've gotten a donation from Thomas. I have actually got an email from someone that actually has an address of auctions, so I don't know who this was actually from. Personally, I've got one from another site that was a sales, so some very interesting PayPal accounts out there. I've got a couple from, I got one from Hans, I've got one from, Dean Jensen, just a bunch of people sent in some more donations here. And we've just about got enough to get the third one. Would like to, if you haven't donated yet, we've got some more time now. And I think we'll call it a close here. No matter what happens, we'll get the third one. I'll chip in the extra money to get the third one for sure. And we'll have at least three pairs or three to give away when they come in. But anyway, the email that I got from the OLPC people said, don't worry, we've updated your address change. We know that you're in queue to get them, and they'll be shipped as they come in. We hope that you'll get it before Christmas. No promises. So we'll see what happens there with delivery on these. But this deal has been extended, and I guess they got some huge influx since the T-Mobile folks were giving away the access to, you know, 1 year free T-Mobile access via their, you know, that essentially the T-Mobile hotspot Wi-Fi access, which is available at about 8,500 locations, which is worth really more than $200. That's a value worth more than $200. So they got a huge number of people jumped in on this after T-Mobile got on the bandwagon. For those of you that are out there that are big-time case modders, or you're looking for the latest cool stuff in motherboard technology, MSI is going to be introducing a limited edition motherboard called the Hydrogen. Now, I'm not a overclocker, but this thing looks beautiful. And I don't, you know, you're going to have one of those cases where you can see in to actually see this thing. But they've developed one of the first, really cool water-cooled motherboards. And rave reviews from BitTech.net. So we'll keep you advised on this. And if any of you are case modders and if you're looking for water-cooled motherboards, you'll definitely want to check this one out. And, you know, I'm going to definitely keep these guys on the list to see at the Consumer Electronics Show. I've pretty much committed myself to going. We're still trying to wrap up a sponsor for the event. So if any of you out there have companies that are looking to get some major, major exposure at the Consumer Electronics Show, let me know. The coverage last year of the 100 or so videos that we did reached about 13 million viewers. So we'd love to have some sponsors on for the CES event. Definitely let us know if you're interested. You can send emails to geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. Of course, as always, the voicemail hotline is live and well at 619-342-7365. And my cell, of course, remains the same. That is posted on the website at geeknewscentral.com. All right, ZDNet Asia is reporting that Vista is still struggling, as we've kind of all known, but Linux is finding its feet. And this is kind of interesting here. They're saying almost a year now from the release of Microsoft Windows Vista, only 13% of companies say they expect to move all desktops to the operating system. And according to a survey released last week, furthermore, adoption of Linux continues to gather pace with particular emphasis on the desktop emerging. But this article goes on to kind of contradict itself, saying while the survey said these IT professionals were looking at Linux, they said in reality very, very few of them would actually adopt Linux as a platform of choice. And I kind of thought, well, why? And they go on to say that it's just, you know, corporate America is not going to do that. I don't know. What do you all think? You think the landscape's starting to change? Do you think, are you guys starting to see this in any of your companies? Or have any of your companies that all of you work with, have they adopted Linux as a desktop operating system? You know, with OpenOffice and everything, there's really, you know, the software's available to stay compatible primarily with most applications. But have you seen any of this? I'd love to hear from you if you have. All right, got a pretty good listing of articles for you tonight on some cool stuff I found, and I have to laugh because I will tell you this one. I signed our mortgages through Wells Fargo, and the Wells Fargo president today said that he predicts that the continuing difficulties in the U.S. housing market is going to continue and get worse. And he says it's the worst that they'll see, the worst declines that we're going to see since like the Depression. I'm like, oh my God, I just bought a house and this guy's saying that housing sales are the worst since the Depression. You know, someone needs to like tell some people. I hope no one in Hawaii hears this because the market here is not doing that and maybe doing it in the lower 48. But oh boy, just that's not what you want to hear when you've just purchased a home. Or if you own a home, for that matter. You know, here I was 2 months ago hoping that the prices would continue to go down. Now I'm thinking, go up. It's funny how your perspective changes, right? All right, next up is the Pirate Bay is going to release a new music section within a few days. And it will feature a genre-specific browser to allow you to search by artists, and they're currently coding it up. So I'm sure this will raise the ire of the BSA and RIAA and all those other groups that are out to protect music. But the Pirate Bay is upping the ante a little bit, and they're going to be releasing this new music section here shortly. I don't think I've only been over to that site once or twice. I guess they must have a current music section, but they're revamping it. This next article, I'm sure, is going to rub some of you a little wrong. It rubbed me a little wrong. And I don't think it's something that's going to fly real well. But imagine this scenario. Imagine that you have just gotten the latest DVD in the mail from your rental place. You know, you got it from Blockbuster, or you've got it from, you know, any of the other services out there. You know, you've popped yourself some popcorn and you've got your movie in, and you've watched the movie for about 30 minutes, and it's getting right to a highlight, and all of a sudden, it switches to a commercial. Yes, IBM patent could cause your DVD movie to pause for a word from our sponsors. Now, this would not be a very happy experience with me. You've paid to rent the DVD. You're watching a full-length feature film. And all of a sudden, the DVD has an advertisement in it. Would you be torqued? I would be absolutely outraged. And whoever I rented the DVD from, they would not get any more of my business. That's for sure. So we'll see what happens here. But to the motion picture people, really, wow, this is great stuff. And they're saying here what they're going to do is that they're going to change the rental price where a release may be $4 to rent on its own, well, not depending on what service you're using, or $1.99 if you get the commercial laid-in version. Guess what? I'll pay the higher price and get the non-commercial version versus getting the $1.99 version with the commercials in it. And I'm sure they'll have something in there that will bypass the fast-forward button as well. Okay, 10 Firefox extensions to help keep your browsing private and secure. So some very cool little plugins for Firefox here. Won't go into these, but, you know, like secure password and all kinds of cool stuff here. So check it out. It's available over at, actually, this is an article written up on Linux.com. So I don't think it's Linux specific. So anyway, it'll be up in the show notes. All right, there are two articles that I'm going to be linking to tonight. It's going to say Doc Searles 1, Doc Searles 2. If you don't read any articles tonight, you need to read these two. And what it essentially set Doc off was he's been reading Dave Weiner's site, Jeff Jarvis, Wendy Seltzer. And, you know, these are all individuals that have had problems with what Facebook is doing with its members' data. And here's a quote from Dave. He says, there are thorny issues here. But we want these companies to give up control of our information, and we don't want them to be overly scared of public opinion as they do it. And this is hardly the most important giving up of control. Most important, I want them to give me control of my data. In other words, if you're putting stuff into Facebook, okay, you're putting in posts, you're making friends, you should, you know, we should demand as a public to be able to take that data with us, export that and get it out. There's all kinds of funny stuff going on over at Facebook right now where they're starting to share user information. If you haven't went on and physically found a place to opt out, you are now having any time that some of these ads pop up on you in Facebook, certain specific ones, you are basically sending your user data over to these specific companies. So what Doc has done here is he has written a two-part article about time to write our own rules. Essentially he's saying, hey, we need to get serious about writing our own rules and starting to making companies play by these rules as users or state that we won't participate and support the particular organization or website that is, controlling the data. We need to start enforcing our user rights, just as we enforce our fair use rights in being able to play short video clips or audio clips of something, or republish a section of, an article somewhere, as long as you give it good attribution. But we need to start, telling these companies out there that, hey, I want my data. I want to be able to take it with me. I want to take my friends with me and want to have it in a format that's going to be available to be imported somewhere else if I so choose not to support a person's website anymore. You know, and I'm sure no one reads the Facebook's Terms of Service. Heck, there are many times that I have podcasters that work with us over at Raw Voice that don't read the Terms of Service that we have for Blueberry. And we have a very big link to it saying, please read this. Make sure you understand the Terms of Service. Make sure you agree to it. Just don't arbitrarily, folks, just don't arbitrarily agree to Terms of Services at sites until you understand what they're going to be doing with your data. So, you know, I'm sure none of us wants to read Terms of Service. And one of the points Doc makes in one of his in the second part of his article here is that Verizon and AT&T have a 10,000-word Terms of Service. You know, and I think Terms of Services need to be, what we did is we highlighted key points in our Terms of Service that we thought people should know about in our sign-up page. For podcasters, we put those on there. You know, and kind of, you know, highlighted these are the important things that are in the Terms of Service because we knew most people were lazy and would not read through everything. But great articles here by Doc. Take your time, go through them, read them, you know, do some time to do some research and understand the issue at hand. And I think as we as a group can start, you know, standing up to the Facebooks and different groups out there that have data in their systems. It's, you know, these siloed systems that data goes in, your data goes in, but none of your data comes out. All right, moving on here. Got a great article. And this, if this turns out to be a, if this claim ends up being true to form, we can end up with having a very good wind generation source. It's called a Maglev, M-A-G-L-E-V. It's a Maglev wind turbine. They're claiming 1,000 times more efficient than normal windmills. They're saying that one Maglev wind turbine will power 750,000 homes. One Maglev wind turbine requires less than 100 acres. It says that 1,000 standard windmills power 500,000 homes, and it requires a field of 1,000 windmills requiring more than 64,000 acres. So it looks like the Chinese are going to be rolling these out in a big way. They're going to be doing it in a smaller scale. They're going to be producing wind turbines that have capacities from 400 to 5,000 watts. And I'll be very honest with you. 5,000 watts, it's a lot of juice, folks. Most people could run fair amount of their appliances on 5,000 watts. A 5,000 watt generator will get you through in a pinch. It definitely would if you had a, you know, a battery bank and using it to supplement whatever's coming in from the general power company. If someone makes one of these and they are cost effective and it can be deployed, see, we got great wind up here. And I should tell you that if you hear it, let me know on the show, but I have a ceiling fan running here in the office. There's no AC. I have an AC unit in the office. It's in. It's a wall mount. There's no split air system yet. At some point, we'll probably put some in. But it's also what we consider kind of the winter months here in Hawaii, so it's a little cooler. So I've got the sliding glass door open to the office, and I've got a window open, and I've got the fan running. There's no, really no wind tonight, but every other night that we've been up here, it's been really, really windy and really no need for the ceiling fans. So if you hear the ceiling fan running tonight, let me know, and I'll shut it off for the next show. But generally, I'm just, you know, we've got a great cross breeze here. It's good. But this area, I would love to have one of these for my home. And I would wire that baby up and have a rack of batteries, and we would put back into the grid. I would more than love to get off. And it says this thing is silent. It says that it's using full permanent magnets to nearly eliminate friction by floating the blades over the base. And according to the developers, the technology is capable of scaling to massive size. So I want to see one. I want to buy one. If China's going to make these things and they're going to import them to the United States, sign me up if they're affordable. Because power here in Hawaii, I was doing some quick calculations, and we've been very, very thrifty already with everything we're doing here. My electricity bill probably is going to run about, if we're going on the same rate of consumption right now, probably around $200 a month. We'll see when the first bill comes. I'll let you know. And this is, of course, when it's cooler and we're not needing to run the AC. Some people say their bills are $300, $350, and we're actually talking about ways we can do water conservation. If any of you, because water is expensive here as well, so if any of you have any great ideas on being able, because we're thinking, okay, we've got this big yard, lots of plants, lots of trees, we could consume a lot of water just by watering the plants. We're thinking, what can we do to maybe have some rainwater runoff into a barrel, ways, you know, basically ways we can conserve some resources here. And I've got plenty of room in the backyard to put water storage. Just need to have a way to collect it efficiently. Any of you doing that? Anything? Anybody got any great links to any cool systems that are out there? Any of you using gray water, you know, bath water, that type of stuff to water plants, anything like that? Love to hear what you guys are doing. But anyway, very, very cool on this maglev wind turbine. Okay, Toyota is demoing a massive driving simulator aims to nix traffic deaths. Wait till you see this thing. This thing is like in a warehouse, and it actually moves. Actually, on a typical simulator, they're fixed, you know, and they don't move side to side. But this thing moves side to side, so you can actually, you know, steer the car to the right or left, and you can actually feel it move. You can feel the acceleration back and forth. Very, very cool. I don't know how much money they spent on this thing, but I'd love to drive a vehicle in it. Hey, our good folks, our good friends over at BlendTech have decided that they are going to blend a Guitar Hero guitar. And I'll just have the link up. You guys can watch it get blended. Pretty impressive. Oh, and I found some cool stuff for you, too. Fair warning here. Have you ever, any of you ever went to, like, one of those home shopping networks? My first marriage, my ex-wife, she ordered this cup set off of one of these home shopping networks. I don't know which one it was. Probably the only one at the time. This was, oh my gosh, you know, 18 years ago. And when they came, they were about the size of a shot glass. They were real tiny. She thought they were big. But by the way, they took the picture on the TV, they looked big. So there's an article on Gizmodo that kind of gives you that classic eye trickery. You're thinking, oh my goodness, I'm going to get this real cool thing, and it ends up being a 200 scale toy. So don't be fooled by the picture, but I'd love to have one of these. Be a lot of fun to use in the backyard, especially if you had some gameful neighbors, which I think we do. So it'd be pretty cool. I'm actually watching my neighbor put in his jacuzzi hot tub. I'm very, very jealous. For those of you that follow Desktop Evolution, you definitely want to check out this article that I found on Windows and Mac OS visual comparison through the years. And this starts you back at Windows 95 and Mac OS 7, kind of walks you through. It's kind of interesting to do a side-by-side on some comparables. So I'll have that linked up in the show notes. Nick Bradbury's got a good article on how Feed Demon is now calculating attention. I actually sent this over to Angelo. I thought this was a pretty good link. And he should read about how he's actually ranking stuff. So thanks for Nick for making that publicly available. That's very cool of him. Oh, yawn there. Sorry about that, folks. It's about 9:40 here. It's actually not too late. All right, word out that Windows XP Service Pack 3 is going to give us about a 10% performance gain compared to XP Service Pack 2. So that's great news for those of you that have stuck with Windows XP. And for those of you that are running Windows Vista, you'll be happy to know that Windows Vista is still 50% slower than Windows XP. They're saying that XP is twice as fast as Vista right now. So, you know, maybe it's not a good time yet to upgrade. Maybe it's time just to sit with Vista. Because what they've really said here is that most people don't upgrade their machines from XP to Vista. They just go out and buy a new machine. So like my laptop that I have here now, I think it's approaching, I don't know, 2, maybe 3 years I've had this laptop. The machines that are out now are a lot faster than this machine. So the machine may be faster, but it's using it's using higher end technology, so it feels to be about the same. So the comparables are not really fair. So how many of you have upgraded an XP machine you've you know, you have to Vista. I'd like to hear what you feel about your performance with Vista on the machine you used to run XP on. And for those of you that have upgraded a machine, what's the comparables? Where do you guys feel it fits in? But it is kind of surprising here that Devil Mountain Software has definitely determined that those of us on XP are going to get a definite performance gain out of Service Pack 3, which is real cool. I'm looking forward to that coming out. All right, Robin Good has a great article. Now, if you're producing content, you'll definitely want to check out his cross-media publishing article talking about creating DVD slideshows, videos, and print photo books with One True Media. This is very interesting. This is a good write-up by him and a very extensive review article for this particular product and service. So check that out. All right, this next article should not surprise you, but it appears the MPAA has been up to some of their dirty tricks again. On October 24th, the MPAA sent a letter to presidents of the top 25 universities that the Association had identified as top locations for the downloading of pirated movies. They suggest to these universities that they deploy custom software designed to pinpoint students who may be using the school's networks to illegally download pirated music. Now, this comes from the Washington Post. And the actual title of this comes from MPAA University Toolkit Raises Privacy Concerns. Well, I think it raises more than privacy concerns. For them to actually ask the universities to install this particular toolkit is, and it's something that they're going to provide, is just shocking to me. Craig Weiner, the MPAA's Deputy Director for Internet Enforcement, said the toolkit was in beta phase, and he said that the MPAA and the developer of the software, Fairfax, Virginia-based ManTech International, plan to release another version of the software within a few weeks. So if you've got kids that are getting ready to go to school or are at school, you're definitely going to want to show them this article because this is scary stuff, folks. They're going to be out there tracking and essentially going after. And you know, if this is implemented by a specific university, and again, they've sent this to the top 25 universities, but how many smaller universities have already maybe implemented this because maybe they were strong-armed or would be forced to in the future because these big universities employ it? Who knows? I can't imagine it being received very well by some of these universities, but this is what they're doing, folks. This is what they're going after next, is they're going after these kids. On the security front, credit card thieves flood Wikimedia with pennies. Essentially, what happened was the Wikimedia had a donation thing set up, and some hackers wrote a script to be able to test stolen credit cards, and they were charging a penny to the specific credit card to see if it would actually charge. And then they would go on and use the stolen credit cards if they were still valid. They shut that down by increasing the amount people would have to, the minimum amount people would give a gift to. But I guess it cost them a lot of money. You know, to process a credit card, it does cost on a per transaction basis. So they were losing many money on each of these penny transactions, but it was obvious fraudulent type of activity. So very, very curious. Be watching your credit card statements, folks. You see a penny charged on there, raise your eyebrows, that's for sure. Okay, Zoho Writer now is going to be letting you edit documents offline. If you haven't used Zoho before, I play around with it from time to time, have an account over there. So now you can edit your documents offline with the Zoho suite of services to be able to work offline. Got a little bit of science news for you. It appears on the 21st of November, the International Space Station astronauts outfitted the Harmony exterior. They got it permanently mounted. They've done a great job so far in getting ready for the upcoming shuttle mission up there to start adding more modules to it. So it looks like the spacewalks have completed the installation of the Harmony and is clearing the way for the launch. So good news on that. We'll be watching that here. About the time that launch goes down, I might be ready to do my 24-hour show. Haven't decided exactly the date yet, but still on my calendar to do. probably going to need to do a couple weeks advance notice on that because it's going to take a little bit to get everybody lined up to be on the show that night or that, you know, during that 24 hours. Should be a lot of fun, though. Okay, the RIAA appears to be afraid of targeting Harvard students. And this is an article written by Ars Technica. They're saying that the RIAA has essentially went after all of the Ivy League schools, with one notable exception that it appears that Harvard is missing from the roster. And it's being speculated that the reason that they're being missed is because there are a couple of senior professors over there that have been extremely critical and actually hostile towards the RIAA's campaign on it. So I think what they're worried about probably is the RIAA is saying, okay, if we go in there and go after these Harvard students, maybe these two very outspoken and very prestigious lawyer professors will come after them with all knives. Can you imagine cutting loose the Harvard Law School and all of the resources of the students and the professors there on the RIAA? That would be a beautiful thing. It really, really would. But we'll see what happens with this. We'll see if the RIAA doesn't take the Harvard students to task. Business Week's got a great article about the best and worst consumer electronics for 2007. And they're saying here that the winners were clear in the music player and game console categories, but the dust has yet to settle in the fight over PC to TV than the next-gen DVD technology. One thing I will say is when the cable guy comes, I'm going to try to sweet-talk him to drop me two cable drops into this room. I'm going to pay to have them dropped in. And what I want to do is I have a single drop for the cable modem, then I have another drop here for my Media Center PC, and that way I can have a little TV action going on in the office instead of having to, you know, do a whole bunch of extra wiring. Hopefully he'll drop me in another drop. But again, it really doesn't have a lot of thing to do with this particular article, but if you're looking for some of the best and worst consumer electronics of 2007, good write-up by the folks at Business Week. It's been quite a while since we talked about a la carte cable. I think it's this is a good article that's written up by TechTurt to highlight some of the challenges that we're facing with a la carte cable. They're saying, at least TechTurt is saying, that a la carte cable will probably cost us more. Now, for me personally, I don't watch any sports. You know, like a major game or something like that. I do watch some NASCAR, but for the most part, they're thinking if people are allowed to do a la carte pricing of their channels, they're going to end up paying more because the way the cable companies have got stuff stacked together and they make these bundled deals, to unbundle it on a channel-by-channel basis will probably end up costing us more than buying the complete package. Now, the cable companies want you to have the complete package because that makes it real easy for them. That's how they've negotiated deals. You know, when they sell a special, what do you get? You get HBO and you get two or three extra channels, or you get a Star or whatever, you know, whatever you're watching. They give you these nice little incentives to be able to get these package deals. But the folks over at the New York Times have given a nice, straightforward explanation of why your bill would be likely to go up. And I think you should go in and check out what TechDirt has to say here and also what the New York Times has to say, because it just makes you go, It's very obvious to us that the cable companies are going to do everything they can not to let us, you know, not to make it to our advantage to have a la carte cable. Those of you that how many of you got cell phones? I'm sure almost all of you do, right? You know now that most cell phones, they can track, right? They know where you're at by doing either triangulation or some of the actual cell phones have the ability to report the location. I don't think that's news to anyone. But apparently what's going on, and this was run by the, I believe it came in the Washington Post. I don't have the link to the original article, but it's being said that law enforcement officials have been routinely asking for and receiving tracking data from cell phone companies without having to demonstrate probable cause. And the article said, instead of seeking warrants based on probable cause, some federal prosecutors are applying for orders based on a standard lower than probable cause derived from the two statutes, the Stored Communications Act and the Pen Register Statute, according to judges and industry lawyers. Now, I don't know if we're necessarily surprised by this, but it is kind of interesting to think that they are have lowered the standard in which they can essentially request information from a cell phone and, you know, the tracking data. So what do y'all think about that? Do you think that, we continue to have our rights chipped away here by actually not having a warrant issued to get this tracking data, and actually using this lower probable cause? I don't know exactly what that implies. It doesn't imply that there's not a warrant given, but some other type of statute is used for them to get this tracking info. Obviously, they're only going after bad guys, but boy, it does make you raise your eyebrows a little bit, doesn't it? Okay, I had to laugh at this article, and I'm going to wrap this up here. I've got two or three more articles I want to get into, but I do have to get into some voicemail comments, so there'll be some articles at the end of the show notes tonight that we didn't get into. There's a report on Slashdot that says radiation not as hazardous as once believed. And I kind of said, huh? It's being reported that a German site called Spiegel Online has mounting evidence that nuclear radiation may not be as deadly as had been widely believed. The article cites studies by German, U.S., and Japanese researchers concluding, for example, that fewer than 800 deaths are attributable to the after effects of radiation and over 86,500 survivors of the Hiroshima bombing. Other surprisingly low death rates are reported in studies of Chernobyl and of a secret Siberian town called Mayak, devoted to producing plutonium that was abandoned after a nuclear accident in 1957. Now, here's the thing. They say that not as many people die, but how many of these people end up having jacked up lives or end up having, more sadly, having kids that were affected down the road? This is really, if you ask me, very dangerous when you're saying, oh, radiation is not as hazardous as once believed. You know, it is on an individual basis. Maybe it's not as high risk as, you know, what they originally inclined, but it doesn't mean that it isn't dangerous. You know, I'm not sure about you, but I don't know if would like to take a trip to Chernobyl. Would you guys want to go there and visit, hang out for a couple of days? I don't think I would. And definitely I want to go to this town called Mayak that was producing plutonium. No way. Scary stuff, but it is curious here what they're finding. I know that we have a few people that listen to the show that are good, have a lot of knowledge in this field. Love to hear from them, especially like to hear your response on this particular article. Geeknews@gmail.com, voicemail hotline 619-342-7365. Please check the show notes tonight for the additional articles that I did not get to. Let me go ahead here. When was the last show? I think I did the last show on the 16th. So let me go into the show comments for tonight and see how many of these I can get through. I think we actually missed a few on the last show. Got an email from Trucker Tom. He said, hey, Todd, I received this article in a regular email that I subscribed to, thought ought to be raising more than a few eyebrows. It seems that Google owns a search engine optimization company that it acquired as part of DoubleClick. This puts them in a pretty hypocritical position as well as a huge conflict of interest. Hope you're doing well, Tom. Hey, Tom, I'm doing great. Thanks, and thanks for the article. Definitely appreciate it. Got an email back. This was actually a OLPC. Let me drop that into this right folder. I want to thank Phoebes for his donation. Got an email from Paul. He said, hey, have you seen, this is from Paul Figiani, our good friend in New York. He said, have you seen how Quick Look in Leopard displays files and offers dynamic playback and or view? Also, your MP3 file takes on your own album art icon. All is well with Leopard. My sister's running a problematic Vista box. If she's lucky, Microsoft will send down a Vista update before the end of the century. A big wink there from Paul. Hey, you know what? That GNC logo on the Leopard looks beautiful. It really does. Got an email from Wendy hey, Todd, to the guy who has a Zune and it won't allow files to be deleted, I have a 3125 cell phone with a great MP3 player in it. It won't allow me to delete a file until I select a new file and start stop of the new file. Then I can reselect the original file. Don't start the play on the old file while it's highlighted. I can now delete it. My thought behind this is the player thinks the file is in use until you select and start playing a new file. It won't release the old file. I hope this makes sense and helps him. I don't know if the Zune has actually got a delete feature in the interface or not. She goes on to say that another plug for my phone. I've had it since May, and it's such a convenience only having it to carry one device and a small Bluetooth headset. I do not miss having to carry a phone and a player. My first two MP3 players were iRivers. While I love them, I also don't miss the corded headset. The doggone cord got caught in everything, and the iRiver was on the floor or pavement at least weekly. Thankfully, it was a flash drive and never broke. Love your show. Happy Thanksgiving. Best wishes to your move, Wendy and Chico. Thanks, Wendy. Appreciate that. Got an email from Ashley. Hey, Todd. Oh, this is from a PR person. Nope, we're not. We're going to skip this one. Got an email from Mike. Says, hey, Todd, just want to wish you luck with your new home. I often forgot the little pleasures in life. Busy turmoil, but wanted to take a moment to let you know there are many of us out here that truly do appreciate all the hard work you do for the podcasting/blogging space. Get settled, and we'll be back with you in a week or two. Have a very safe and happy Thanksgiving. Mike, thanks for your email. I definitely appreciate it. Got an email from Ben. He says, hi, Tad. As we witness with each election, exit polls have been proven to be incorrect, and political quizzes lack substance, but one site, Connect to Elect, at www.connecttoelect.com is revolutionizing the way in which elections are predicted and how voters can be educated about the candidates through a set of algorithms. Connect to Collect shows which candidate voters most likely align with based on issues, not popularity and money. I encourage you to check out Connect to Elect and let me know if you'd like to speak with someone about the site. I guess that was from a PR person. Sucked me in, didn't it? Okay, got an email from Yitz. Hey, Todd, hope your move is going slowly. This is kind of scary but true, but probably needs some more research. Wi-Fi signals causing increase in autism in children. I'll definitely have this linked up in the show notes. Got an email from Dimitri. He said, hey, Todd, hi, happy Thanksgiving, long time listener, GNC. Though I'm currently about a month behind, I do like to listen to the podcast in a chronological order. I probably need to exercise more to catch up, smiling. He says, I have a question. Do you perhaps, or the Ohana, know a good podcast that review other podcasts? I was subscribed to Podcast Junkie, but that show has apparently died. I could not find any other good alternatives in the podcast directory. Thanks for all your efforts. Thanks, Dimitri. Dimitri, we're going to have to do a reach out. Any of you guys out there listen to podcast review shows? Have a good suggestion for Dimitri, maybe? If you do, send me an email. Show me what show it is, and we'll promote it up for sure. Got an email from Lumpy. This is a long one here. Hey, Todd, hope you're doing well and get over your back pain. You mentioned 314. Yes, actually, I got new back pain now from moving all this crap. But I have been rather ill of late. I hope you're feeling better. And I'm a bit behind on your podcast. I thought you might put this link regarding how many PC one has. I have four total. I run two older Ubuntu boxes. And one in the photo link below counts as two connected via Synergy. One old ME machine trapped with that OS due to older hardware in one XP machine. He provides me a couple of picks. He says, regarding the MT plugin for enclosures, you are referring to the podcast plugin in compliant with 4.0 or the enclosure plugin. I checked the library in plugin library for 4.0. couldn't find anything about the enclosure plugin. Yeah, they went ahead and fixed that there and put a new one up. So we've got a good enclosure plugin now for Mobile type version 4.0. Got an email from Carl asking what happened to show 318. Can't find it in iTunes or on your site yet, Carl. It's definitely not up. And we're going to count that one up as just bad luck, really. I do definitely appreciate the producer that put it together, though. He really worked hard at it. But it just, we couldn't actually put it up because of the reason I talked about earlier in the show. Got an email from Giovanni. He says, "Hey, I'm sure your readers will find the following news item interesting. New free tools to make games for unmodified iPhones." I have that linked up. Okay, this next email is from Bob, and he sent me a... Remember we talked about shooting stars? I think you guys will get a kick out of this video, audio. It's a couple of minutes, but this is probably more information than you really wanted to know about something you do in space. So here, let me go ahead and play this for you.
When you go to the bathroom on Earth, you're relying on gravity pretty heavily. Imagine if you were halfway done and somebody shut off gravity, it would be a mess. And you'd float off the toilet. So when we designed our space toilet, first it has to have a seatbelt on it to hold you down. And then we decided to separate solids and liquids because they're easier to store that way. So we just have a tube that you pee into, and it has air pulled into the tube. So it's not a big deal.
Airplanes
for the women, there's
that.
A cup fits up against them. For the guys, it's just like a little funnel. You just pee into this tube, and it goes into a sewage tank. But the solids that come out of your body, that's a harder problem to solve.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an important medical one. Because on Earth, everything falls on the floor. But in space, it's going to float around.
Ew.
So it'll really make you sick. If you re-ingest something that came out of your body, it will really make you sick. And we can't afford to get that sick. So we designed a toilet that instead of gravity pulling everything into the toilet, it has air flow. There's air pulled down into the toilet. Sort of windy when you're sitting there, but it pulls everything out of your body. Everything that comes out of your body gets pulled down into the toilet by the air. And then in the storage tank, we just expose that to the vacuum of space, so it basically just freeze-dries everything, so it kills all the bacteria, so that there's no smell, and then we just store it. And then when you have a whole bunch of it stored, we put it in a little unmanned supply ship, and we undock it, and it burns up in the atmosphere. So the next time you see a beautiful shooting star going across the sky, that's what it might be.
Very funny. Thanks for that enlightenment. I'm sure that's more than we really needed to know, Bob, but good entertainment value and a little education at the same time. He got an email from JP. This came in just before the show. He said, "Hey, Todd, your favorite company got a fine, and the EU has fined Sony about $109 million for fixed pricing on Betacam SP and digital Betacam cassettes for professional use." Says between 1999 and 2002, Sony, Fuji, and Maxell managed to raise or otherwise control prices through a series of regular meetings and other illicit contacts. Ooh, naughty, naughty, naughty. So they got fined $109 million for price fixing. I guess all three companies got whacked. It doesn't say how much did, but $109 looks like went to Sony. All right, got an email from Barry. It says, "Hey, Todd, hope your move went smoothly on time, under budget, with nothing broken." I think we went over budget and only a few things broken. One kitchen table chair got broken. We'll have to get that fixed. But he says, "Can't say the same for Google Updater. It is broken. It pops up every few minutes. I cannot delete it as long as I have Google Earth installed. I've tried to contact Google, but of course they have no consumer contact email, though they do have email if you happen to be a seller of Google AdSense. Any suggestions on how to keep this from opening every few minutes short of deleting all Google applications? I have a MacBook with Leopard installed. Thanks and welcome to your new digs, Barry." Anyone got a suggestion for Barry out there? I definitely appreciate some feedback. This is a new one from me. And finally but not least, I got an email from Jim. He says, "Hey, Todd, check out www.iule.tv, iule.tv. Put a Yule log on your iPod or Apple TV. The money goes to charity. It's a project created by Callie Lewis of geekbrief.tv. He says Chris Pearl will have a video up soon about it, or check out his Ustream now at, I'll have that link, actually, to hopefully Chris will have that up, but I'll have the link up to iule.tv. All right, folks, here we are. We're at the end of the show. End of the new show from the new digs. And I hope you all enjoyed it. Microphone position is a little off. I'm going to make an adjustment on it. And hopefully I didn't breathe on you too hard today. So as always, hey, thanks for being part of the family, being part of the Ohana here. And we're on a new beginning and a new chapter of the show. It's a very exciting time for Shoko and I, and of course the kids are excited. We're looking forward to the holiday period. I told my son was asking me today, and my little three-year-old, we are making a run out to the bank. He goes, Dad, he says, when can we get a Christmas tree? And I said, Chris, we'll get one this weekend. So he was cheering in the back, and of course my older one was, do we have to get a Christmas tree? Because he knows the mess it usually makes. But I said, yes, we have to have a Christmas tree, of course. And for all my Hawaii listeners, we're going to be having a little bit of a get-together here at the house in a couple of weeks. I'll be announcing that via some Hawaii email list. And we're also going to be having a PodCamp Hawaii out here, I believe sometime in March. That's being organized by Roxanne Darling from Beach Walks with Rocks. That's a great, great podcast to check out, Beach Walks with Rocks. Check her show out. And should have a lot of fun with the podcasting gang and the people that listen to the show from here, from Hawaii. But we'll keep you all informed. Wish you all could be here. And heck, if you come across the pond, you'd be more than welcome to attend. And if you're coming out to Hawaii for holidays, definitely let me know when you're coming. And love to meet any people from the show that come out this way. And, of course, if I get back to the mainland in different areas, I'll be putting up announcements as well. I do expect to be doing some traveling after the first of the year. So look forward to meeting up with some people in some different areas. But, as always, it's been my pleasure to bring this show to you. Thank you for the support of the sponsors. And, of course, thank you for being part of the Ohana. Stay subscribed. Tell people about the show. And, buy them an MP3 player and get them subscribed to the Geek News Central. That's the thing. That's a great Christmas present for me. And, of course, again, congratulations to both Bree and Joe for their contributions on the kind of the new mini intro segment, location segment at the beginning of the show. Until next time, well, I guess we'll see you on Friday, right? So happy holidays. I guess we can say that now. And aloha from Apra Makakilo. Bye-bye.